Heavenly Father, I thank you for forgiveness and that your grace really truly is big enough to forgive all of our sin and that there is no longer condemnation, there is no longer judgment for those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here. I pray that you will speak through me in ways I cannot, and your Holy Spirit will move. I hand you my tongue, and I pray that each person here will hand over their ears and say, Lord, speak to my ears and speak to my heart, whatever it is you have, even if it's nothing to do with what Guy says. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we're starting a brand new four-week sermon series called My Story. How many of you love a good story? You love a good story. Most of us are going to raise our hands and say that we love stories. I think that we all do. I mean, stories is really such an intricate part of our human relationships. It's what we do when we get together and we spend time together. I mean, we're coming up on Thanksgiving here, and I know that most of us are going to gather around a table with friends and family and family that are also foes and these people that maybe you don't see that often because you don't want to, but you're going to sit around and hopefully not talk too much about the election. But while you're sitting there and you're having these conversations, you're going to tell stories. You're going to say things like, I've got to tell you about the time when I... Or see, the great news is that we all have stories that we love to tell. We have stories that we're like, hey, let me tell you about the time I set this goal and I accomplished it. Or let me tell you about this time that there was a problem and I overcame it. Or the time that I made the right decision. Or about this funny time when I did this really stupid thing and everybody laughed at me and now I'm laughing at myself and it's all good because we're all laughing. Like, we tell these fun stories, but we've also all have these stories that we would rather leave untold. See, these maybe entire chapters of our lives that we'd rather nobody knew about. We'd rather not share around the Thanksgiving dinner table. Maybe we have stories that we want to edit, or stories that we want to lie or bend a little bit or leave parts out to make it less painful or to make it less shameful. Stories that we wish really were never part of our narrative. And if we could go back in time, we would wipe that out of our past. See, what's interesting to me is when I look back over the course of my life, I see what at the time seemed like insignificant decisions, but oftentimes had a significant impact on the direction of my life. You ever think about that? Small decisions we make that impact everything. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. I mean, simple example. In 2010, I bought a motorcycle for the first time. I owned dirt bikes. I never had a street bike. I never ridden on a cruiser, but I always had wanted to. And I had no idea that because of buying that motorcycle in 2010, that in 2011, in connection with that, I would meet my wife. And see, that decision totally derailed my future. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It set me on a good path. But that decision impacted my future. And see, a lot of us, we look back on our lives and we say, I'm glad I did that. Or I'm glad I started doing that. Because we see that it made our lives better. But then sometimes we see things and we say, I wish I had never done that. If I knew the repercussions of that choice, I would never have done that. Because becoming friends with that person or making that move had made my life harder. But the decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. And as we begin this series, the big question, the big overarching question, as we see in these videos for this 4 weeks, is how do we live a story worth telling? How do we live a story worth telling? And the main theme scripture for this is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Our key verse is found in this chunk, verses 1 and 2. It says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race of endurance set before us. And the key is in highlights, like I like to do, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Wouldn't it be amazing if you let Jesus become the author of your story, the author and perfecter of your faith? The reason you have faith, the reason you have salvation is the work that Jesus did on the cross. Imagine if you took your relationship with him so seriously and prioritized it so much that he was the center of your story, that you looked to him, the author and perfecter of your faith, and he wrote the story with you, the story that God wanted to tell with your life. That's so much bigger than any of us can create. How do we do it? We look to Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. So quick snapshot. Here's what's going to, the next 4 weeks are going to look like. Today, I want you to make four decisions over the next 4 weeks when we come together. And today, we're going to decide to start a discipline that helps you tell the story that God wants to tell, and make that decision today. Next week, we're going to decide to stop, because all of us have behaviors or mindsets or attitudes that hinder us from living the story God wants to tell. And I'm going to ask you to pinpoint that one thing that you want to stop that's interrupting your story. The third week, we're going to decide to stay when it's easier to go, but God calls us to stay, and we want to quit on something, but we are better off to stay. When we quit on God, and we quit on church, and we quit on friendships, and we quit on dreams, and we sometimes quit on marriages, and we quit on our children, or we quit on our parents, God says, stay the course. And then in the fourth week, we're going to decide to go. Flip that on its head. We're going to decide to go when it's easier to stay, because I can promise you that at some point in your life, if not several points in your life, God will lead you to make a significant step of faith and leave what's comfortable, leave what's easy, leave what you know to honor God. And it would be a whole lot easier to stay, but God is calling you to go. And we're going to decide what your go looks like to go. Start, stop, stay, go. Today. Tonight. Today. Deciding to start a discipline that can be life transforming. Now, I don't want you to think about starting a business or writing a book or starting a ministry, or that's about go. Today, I want to talk about starting a discipline and prioritizing something that's going to change the trajectory of your life and your closeness with God and how God writes your future. Because nobody likes discipline. Nobody's excited about this. But good habits change the course of your life. We're going to look at Old Testament example. See, in the Old Testament, before Jesus, which is the Old Testament is the big section of the Bible before Jesus was born. It's the bulk of what's in your Bible. A lot of people back in that time period made decisions that affected the direction of their life. And today, I want to look at a man by the name of Daniel and his lion's den. Now, here's the backstory before we read scripture. And if you've been around church a lot, or you grew up in church, this is a very common Sunday school story. So most of you that have done that will see where we're going with this. But I just want to give a quick backstory, because oftentimes we forget the backstory that took us to the lion's den and took us to the pit. So King Darius, he really liked Daniel. And he selected 120 high officials to oversee and govern his territory. And above that, he selected three men to oversee those 120 men. And Daniel was one of them. Daniel stood out because of his integrity and his leadership skills. So the king said, I want to put Daniel in charge of everybody. I want him to be on top of the pile. And what happens in that is the other 120 guys were jealous. So they essentially said, we got to put a stop to this guy, Daniel, because he's acting like the teacher's pet. This King Darius really likes him, and that's not making us look very good. So let's pick up the story at chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Then the other administrators and the high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize him for. Well, let's stop there a second. You see what they're doing? They're trying to bring him down, and they're looking for any dirt that they could find on this guy. Any failure, any little hidden secret sin that he's hiding over here so that nobody can pull anything. They're trying to find just a little bit of trash on this guy so they could bring him down. And they couldn't. And the Bible says they couldn't find anything to criticize him for. And you know why? It says because he was faithful and he was always responsible and completely trustworthy. So they concluded that our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Daniel was so solid in his discipline and his faithfulness to God that they realized that the only way to trap him, the only way to pull him down from teacher's pet standard, I'm the boss, was to make his faith illegal, was to make his prayer against the rules. So they made a plan. And you can read all the details throughout the book of Daniel. But basically what happened is these men, they went to the king and they said, hey, we have a really good idea. What do you think? Wouldn't you think it would be awesome if for the next 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody, any capital G God, any lowercase g God, except for you. And if they do pray to anybody except for you, we're going to toss them in the lion's den and there'll be dinner before sunset. And the king, I mean, how many kings do you know that wouldn't react this way? He's like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. I'm the guy. And now everyone has to worship me for 30 days. I want exclusive kind of I'm the God of this territory kind of status. So yeah, let's make that the law. Let's do it. And if you know the rest of the story, you'll know that Daniel ended up in the lion's den and God delivered him without a scratch. And I'm going to show you why. Why was Daniel looked favorably on in the first place? Why was he a man of integrity? Why was he faithful and had no corruption in him? Why was he even promoted to leadership in the first place? Because years before this moment, Daniel made a decision. Daniel made a decision that turned him into a man of integrity and a man of faithfulness and a man of discipline who prioritized God over even his own safety and his own life and his own future. That was number one. And here's the decision in chapter 6, verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its window open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. What? He did what? Like, he knew that this law was passed. He knew that if he did this, it would lead to a probable arrest. And you know what he did? Just as he had always done. Just as he had always done, he prayed three times a day. He got on his knees in front of the window on the top floor. Think about this. Think about the decision that this guy made to take his discipline and his relationship with God super serious. See, we don't know how long he had been doing this. We didn't know if it was for weeks or for months or for years, but we know possibly even more than a decade, he was so committed to this and he had this discipline to every day line up his heart with God and God's will and say, this is what I'm all about. And in the face of arrest, he didn't change anything. He didn't put his shade down. He didn't hide under his covers. He didn't go to the basement. He didn't make it real quick and get out of there. Just as he had always done. Just as he had always done. And because of that discipline, he rose to a place of influence because he prioritized his relationship with God, and God transformed his life, transformed his story, and he lived the life that God wanted him to live. God wanted a man of that quality in leadership in that kingdom. I want to pose two questions for you tonight. First one, I want you to ask yourself, what does God want you to want? What does God want you to want? So I bet if you're honest with yourself, you can sit back and you say, well, yeah, there's this one area of my life that isn't really where it should be. Or maybe the chapter that I'm writing right now, I feel sure that if I keep going like I'm going, that it's not going to end well. I need to make some changes. I need to make some decisions about my future, and that starts with these decisions. It starts with writing my priorities and growing in my relationship with God. I'll give you some examples. Maybe you haven't been a very good husband or a very good wife or a very good mom or a very good dad because maybe you're pursuing your career or you're pursuing hobbies more than you're pursuing your own family. Honestly, this is something that I've struggled with. That if my wife was here tonight, she could tell you, hey, I keep a tight rope on this guy because when you work in a field like this, in church work and ministry work, a field that has really no structure, there are certain things, certain tasks that happen every week. Like, for example, every weekend I'm going to stand up here unless someone else comes to do it, and I'm going to give the message. So I have to know or have a general idea what's going to happen. Like, I have to prepare for this stuff. But by and large, a lot of the things that go into pastoring can kind of flex. You know, the hours are flexible, the tasks are flexible. I don't go to work at 7 o'clock and I fix widgets until 5 o'clock and then I go home and it's all done. It's constant and it's very easy and common in pastoring to burn yourself out and ignore your family. And I have to make the decision to prioritize my wife, and she reminds me of that all the time because when my 1-year-old son turns 5, I don't want to look back and say I missed it. I want to look back and say I loved it, and I loved every minute of it. Maybe for you, another example, maybe for you it's treating your body better, treating your body like the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so that several years from now you can look back and you can see not just spiritual change of what God's doing in your life, but also see physical change and say, well, you know, 7 years ago I weighed 38 pounds more or 78 pounds more, but then I decided that I was going to make a change, and now my self-image is better and my whole life is better. Everything about who I am is so much better because I disciplined myself. Maybe that's, financial. Maybe that's getting out of debt. Maybe that's prioritizing prayer and Bible study and church or all of these things that are suffering because you're not putting them first. I remember, I'm 31 years old, and I remember the first time that I read through the entire Bible. I grew up in church. I started going to church when I was negative 9 months old, I'm sure. But I was 25 years old, and I realized I had never read the entire Bible from cover to cover. Even though I'd had one in my hand most of my life, I had one in my possession, I owned multiple translations, I was like, and then people would talk about these Old Testament stories, I'm like, are you sure that's in there? And I needed to kind of familiarize myself with Scripture. But I was 25 years old, and I went and I got myself one of those one-year Bibles that you read a chunk of the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Proverbs and Psalms, and by the end of the year, you've read the whole thing, and I committed to that. And I'll be honest, I didn't completely stick to that. I fell behind a little bit, and I eventually finished, but not within my one-year goal. But that was the beginning for me of prioritizing studying God's word and consuming myself with what God had to say to me. And God started to teach me things about himself and about myself that I had never heard in church, that I had never heard a pastor say, because, you know, there's certain things that just don't kind of come up. We don't spend a lot of time in Numbers, you know, but there's good stuff in there that you can pull out and God can show you through his word. See, that discipline continues for me, and that discipline is freedom and growth to live and do the things that God calls me to do. If Daniel hadn't developed these disciplines during times of peace, I highly doubt that he would have gone to that window and knelt and prayed during turbulent times. When his life was on the line, he wouldn't have done it because he hadn't developed that. He hadn't done the work. He hadn't built the character and the integrity. He hadn't become the man that God had called him to be. You don't just wake up and say, oh, well, it's illegal to be a Christian now. I think I'm in. No, those are the people that leave. Those are the people that don't want to be here. It's commitment, and he built that, and he developed that. So after you think about what God wants you to do, and I can't tell you, that's between you and God, here's my closing question for you today. What do you need to start? What do you need to start? Because if you now if you're like me, you're tempted to look at your life and the things that you do, and you're going to say, well, you know, okay, I got 4 things, I got 7 things, I got 36 things that I need to make this long list, and I got to tackle all of these by next Saturday, or else I'm not going to be doing it right. But that's not what I want you to think about. I want you to think about one thing. Commit to one thing and ask God what that discipline is that he wants you to start today to tell the story that he has for you. I want to show you one more Old Testament story. 1 Kings chapter 20, and this is about King Ahab of Israel. When a prophet said that God is going to give this opposing army into your hands, God's speaking to him in relationship with him. God's speaking to him. God says, I'm going to give you this army, and here's what happens. Let's pick it up. Chapter 20, verse 13. Meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, this is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it into your hand today, and then you will know that I am the Lord. But who will do this? Ahab asks. The prophet replied, this is what the Lord says. The junior officers under the provincial commanders will do it. And who will start the battle? He asked. And the prophet answered, you will. Who will start the battle? And the prophet answered, you will. Who is going to make the decision? Who is going to commit to the discipline to help you tell your story the way that God wants you to tell the story? You will. Who is going to make the decision to commit your life to God if you've never done that? Who's going to make the decision to take that seriously and fully surrender your life to God and stop holding on to the things that are holding you back? You will. Nobody else. Nobody else is going to decide whether or not you're going to be the man or the woman that God created you to be. You decide. Nobody does this for you. Nobody does this for me. I can't force you to take my advice. I can't force you to take the Bible's advice. I can't force you to believe in the Bible or believe in God. That's between you and God. But you are going to live the life that you want to live when you wake up tomorrow, and that's your choice. It's on you. Do you want God to be a part of it? Do you want the author and perfecter of your life to do the work? Or are you going to keep going down this path that's harder than it needs to be because you're not letting God be in control? Are you going to decide to discipline yourself and grow in Christ? What are you going to decide today? What is the discipline that you believe that God wants you to want to start today? What is it? Here's what I want you to do. Right now, the ushers are going to bring down a card. This is what I want you to do. George and Russ are going to pass out these little cards to everybody. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about this. I want you to decide. The question on here is what, you guys can go ahead. The question on here is what discipline does God want you to start? And then on the bottom of it, I want you to write the date. I decided to start on today, or whatever the day is that you're going to start. There's a pen in front of your chair. Now, before anybody feels self-conscious about this or starts questioning what you put on there, this is between you and God. I'm not going to look at this. I don't want to collect them. I don't want you to show it off to people. Nobody's looking over your shoulder. Hey, no, just kidding. No one's looking over your shoulder. Just take some time and write this down. And if you're not ready, think about it, pray about it, do it later. But I want you to keep this card. And I want you to have it with you. Maybe put it in your Bible. Maybe hide it in your nightstand. But what discipline does God want you to start today? Because I believe that God has big plans and a big mission that he's inviting us to be a part of. And that mission is so much bigger than we can ever imagine that it could be. And he wants to put you to work in his kingdom. And he wants to write your story in awesome ways. It's incredible. I remember the day. That God called me to pastor. Now, I can think back, I can think of a handful of times whenever that was obvious, especially in hindsight, but I remember the day I was sitting in a Sunday night church service, and I don't remember much of what the pastor said, but I do remember God speaking to me in that moment, and I was in tears throughout the service, and I didn't really understand why. My wife was like, it was 2013, actually, and my wife was like, what in the world is wrong with you? I can't even talk to you. And so we finished her. We went down to the altar, and we talked, and we prayed together, and the pastor came over, and we our prayer that night was really, we're yours. Whenever, wherever, whatever, take our life. Writing our own story is clearly not working. We want you to take over. I was told a long time ago by a pastor that didn't even know me. We were both volunteering at a restaurant. He had no idea who I was, and he just walked over to me. He's like, hey, man, I've been following God for 40 years, and I don't regret a day of it. And I often look back at that conversation that was such a God putting him in my path. He had no reason to say that to me other than God put it on his tongue. So cool. So cool. You will never regret following God. You will never. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, what if? So you will decide if you're ready to start letting God write your story, or if you're ready to keep holding tight to areas that he wants to make your life awesome in. If you seek God, you look to Jesus, you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your life, he will write the story that he wants to in your life. Daniel. Why was Daniel so faithful and trustworthy? Why was he a man of integrity with no fault in him? Because at some point in his life, he made the decision that some people would look at and say that's insignificant or that's a very small piece of his life. But he made the decision to discipline himself in prayer and the decision to align his heart with the will of God daily. You can live a story worth telling. No matter where you're at tonight, no matter what your life looks like tonight, you can let God start writing your story today. All you got to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to want? And what's the little thing that I need to commit to tonight to see significance in the road? Down the road. Let tonight be a night when you decide to start. Please pray with me as the worship team comes to close us out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the discipline of a man who lived thousands of years ago, but because of his discipline and his decisions to start committing to prayer and getting to know you more, because of that, he was then prepared when turbulent times came his way and you had a story to tell with his life. And there are so many teaching examples and life-changing examples in the story of Daniel and in the book of Daniel because Lord, your hand was on him and he had every right to say, I don't want this, but you called him and you worked through him. And God, I believe that each person here, that if they make the decision to start and to commit to something, that no matter how big or small it is, if they are disciplined and they commit to it and they start it today, Lord, that you will do awesome things in their life that we can't even grasp right now. So we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you. In your holy name I ask, amen.